11 and verse 5. I trust God will speak to you and me in these few moments. Luke 11 and verse number 5. Luke has often been called the Gospel of Prayer. How often we find our Lord Jesus praying in the Gospel of Luke, and how often we find Him teaching on the subject as well, including such parables as this one we're about to read. Luke 11 says at verse number 5, "And He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." I'm preaching tonight for a few moments on the subject, keep praying. Keep praying. I'm not going to read these opening verses, but you recognize them immediately as what's called the model prayer, verses 2 through 4. And when you look at those, just very briefly, you notice that these words are not in the singular, they're in the plural. Our Father, not my. Give us, not me or mine, us. Forgive us, lead us. So you see immediately, when Jesus is teaching about prayer, that it's supposed to include others. It's not wrong to pray for you, but it is wrong to pray for you and nobody else. That's very obvious from this passage. There are the elements of prayer here. Relationship, our Father which art in heaven. You can't pray unless God's your Father. No, God's not everybody's Father. You got to be saved to call God Father. And so the first prayer that God will hear from a sinner is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. God is not under any obligation to hear the prayer of any sinner prior to the salvation prayer. That's relationship. And worship, hallowed be thy name. Submission, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And a petition, give us day by day our daily bread, Lord. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, spiritual needs, physical needs, the need for guidance and direction in our lives. These are the elements of prayer. Confession, forgive us our debts. These are what you might call the outline of prayer, the skeleton of prayer. The Lord did not want us to vainly repeat this. He said very plainly, don't use vain repetitions. Don't just... You know how Protestants and others, they'll all join hands and say, let's repeat the Lord's Prayer. Well, it's not the Lord's Prayer, for one thing, because it's the disciples' prayer. It's the model's prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer, because in this prayer he says, forgive us our sins, and the Lord never had to say, forgive me of my sins. If you want the Lord's Prayer, that's John 17. But here are the elements of prayer that we base our prayers upon. And we make our own. You should always see this as an outline. But we want to think about this parable that I read to us here that concerns prayer. It's very simple but powerful. It's about a man, and he's facing quite a dilemma here. The Bible says it's about midnight, and this man and his family are all in bed. The day is done. Everybody's wore out. He's not prepared for what's about to happen. Not that it was unusual, but he's almost asleep when suddenly and unexpectedly there came a knock at his door. Maybe he wondered, am I dreaming? But the knock continues, and he thinks, well, who can this be? I'm not expecting anybody. It's midnight. What's going on here? There's a knock at the door. He gets up, goes to the door. It's an old buddy of his on a trip who needs a place to stay for the night. One person. Now, we may think that's a bit strange, but you see, back then, they didn't have cell phones to call ahead of time and say, I'm on the way. In fact, there was no way to let anybody know you were coming. And there were very few hotels back then. Very few. So it wasn't an unusual thing so much as it would be considered today. And back then in the East, not only were you to be favorable toward any guest, known or unknown to you, but you were to provide them a place of lodging and you were to feed them. If you never seen them before in your whole life, you were to show hospitality because it might be you one day knocking on somebody's door, your camel died, and you needed a place to stay. In fact, you can't read the New Testament without seeing that the emphasis upon hospitality, especially in Romans and other epistles. And so it was his duty, as it was the duty of every person, to bring this person in, to provide them a place to stay, and this was his friend as well. So it was more than just an obligation, it's his friend. And he's got to provide him a place to stay and a meal and his friend to be on in the morning. And not to do that, to fail to provide hospitality was a public reproach. So he knows what he must do and what he wants to do. But there's only one problem. There's no food in the house. There's no food. And there's only one solution. That's go borrow it from the neighbor. So he says to his friend, if you just sit down here, I'll wake up my wife and she'll talk to you. Somehow or another, we don't have any food in the house. And I am going to feed you and I'll be right back. And he runs over and knocks on the door of his neighbor, but no answer. He knocks on the door of his neighbor, but no answer. Finally, from within, there's a voice that says, who is it? It's me. It's your neighbor. I've had an uninvited, unexpected guest. It's my friend, and we've run out of food, and I want to borrow 3 loaves of bread from you, and you know I'll pay you back. Leave me alone, and be quiet. Don't knock on that door again. We're all in the bed asleep. You see, back then, the whole family slept in one bed, and that was a common practice for thousands of years. But anyway, the fella is real grumpy. Maybe you would be at midnight if somebody tried to get you up. And he says, don't you know what time it is? Why do you need 3 loaves of bread? He's reluctant. But this man keeps begging, keeps knocking, keeps pleading. He just finally says, I'm not going away. I'm not taking no for an answer. Do you get the picture here? I have a friend. I would rather die than go back and tell my friend I have no bread and be a public scandal in this community. Lend me 3 loaves. Lend me 3 loaves. And I'm not taking no for an answer. Finally, you know what happens. The neighbor gets up and goes to the kitchen and gets 3 loaves of bread and gives them to the fella at the door. And the fella at the door runs back home and says to his friend, I'm so sorry. It took me so long. Here's food. Let's eat. And here you can take 1 loaf with you in the morning. And sorry for the delay. My neighbor was a bit cantankerous tonight. Now, what does all that mean? Why did Jesus Christ tell that story? Because he wanted you and me to know that prayer sometimes requires knocking and more knocking. You don't always get the answer on the first request. Real prayer requires persistence. It requires what Jesus called importunity. Verse 8. And importunity means, I am not bashful. I will keep on knocking. That's what the word means. It means actually shameless. It means I am willing to beg as long as I have to beg. That's what importunity means. And Jesus said the neighbor did not get up and supply the bread because of their neighborship or friendship. He said it was because of his importunity that he let him borrow 3 loaves. So this is an illustration of intercession. This man here, he is asking for the sake of his friend. He's asking for the benefit of somebody else. He's asking for the welfare of his friend. He's willing to beg, do you get this? Here's the whole message. He's willing to beg for the sake of somebody else. That is intercession. I wonder when the last time was you went to God and begged for somebody else. Begged for their salvation. Begged for some need in their life. Begged for God's mercy upon them. God's patience. When is the last time you pled with God for his favor upon somebody? Not for you. Not for you. For somebody else. When did you last plead with God that he would provide bread to satisfy the hunger of some soul? Now, we don't seem to know a whole lot about this intercession. But I'm convinced tonight we can't do much, but God can. I'm convinced tonight we need to do a whole lot more praying, because when we work, but when we pray, God works. And prayer knows no limitations. And anything that God can do, prayer can do, God can do. Anything God can do, prayer can do, thank God. You can pray your way through, amen. Don't worry your way through life. Pray your way through. Push. Pray until something happens, amen. P-U-S-H. I learned that in Bible school. Pray till something happens. When was the last time we pled and we begged? We're weak, but God is strong. We're limited, but God's unlimited. Yeah, we're pretty ignorant, but God's wise. We're poor, but God's rich. We're unable, but God's able. And we need to keep knocking and keep begging. It was not in vain. Amen. It was not in vain. He didn't go home with an empty basket. Faith doesn't go home with an empty basket. You know, great faith, little faith will take your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. This man's prayer was answered. His request was granted. His friend was fed. And folks, if we'll spend some time in the Holy of Holies, surely somebody, somewhere will be helped. Somebody will be blessed. Somebody will be fed because we dared to go to God's door and keep on knocking with importunity. And if this old grouchy man yielded to his importunity, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who is willing, grant our petitions? Thank God. So keep on asking, seeking, and knocking, Jesus said. We need this intensity. Now, prayer is not about presumption, but it's a lot about boldness. We need that. Determination. When Paul talked about praying, he used the word strive. That's the word they used to describe the Olympic wrestlers. Brother, that's concentration. I mean, prayer is combat with Satan. That's why it's the hardest thing you've ever done. It is not hard to sing for an hour. It is not hard to preach for an hour. But you try to pray for an hour. You will be distracted. You will find, folks, that the more spiritual something is, the sooner you tire in it, and the more the devil will keep you from doing it. Do you know what I mean? So we need that intensity. that courage, that passion. We need to go to God and say, now, Lord, you said that you so love the world, and therefore I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your promise. I'm praying for the salvation of so-and-so, Lord, and I'm doing so with confidence that you're going to save. You said you wanted to save. Your power enables you to save. Your compassion constrains you to save. Folks, that's not presumption. That's boldness. That's faith. You're standing on God's word. Need to pray with that intensity and passion. I don't have time to mention all the great prayer warriors of the Bible. Abraham, Moses. If God and Moses ever decided at the same time to wipe out Israel, they'd have been wiped out. But it was the prayers of Moses. Was it not the prayers of Moses that kept God from wiping them all out one time and starting all over? Sure it was. And Samuel mentioned in the Psalms, if there is a prayer warrior in the Bible, it's Samuel. And Elijah, after the fire came down, the Bible says he got down on his knees and prayed for rain, prayed once, said to his servant, go look out over the Mediterranean. Any signs of rain coming? Prayed twice, no signs. Three times, no signs. Finally, after he prayed seven times, after knocked on the door seven times, not once or a few times, seven times his servant said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, the rain is on the way. Let's get indoors. He believed it so strongly, the Bible says he ran to Jezreel and got there ahead of Ahab's carriage. Brother, he's a runner, running, wasn't he? There was a sound of abundance of rain. We need to be seven times prayers. Not just pray once, but keep on praying. And keep on knocking and pleading till the answer comes. We need to be men like that I just mentioned. Israel, the name means one who strives with God, one who prevails with God and pleads with God. I'm just afraid a lot of our praying wouldn't, I don't know if it'd qualify much as intercession or petition, or there seems to be a lot of self in our praying, selfishness. We need to be done with this small praying, this selfish, half-hearted praying, this indefinite praying. Folks, if you need something, name it. Name it. This fellow went to his neighbor and said, I want to borrow three loaves. Three. Be specific. God understands. That just shows how much his greatness when he gives you exactly what you need. Amen. This missionary party was traveling through the jungle, and when I say party, I mean group. I have to explain myself anymore. People don't know what a missionary party is. Well, the stream was flooded and they couldn't cross. So they got down on their knees and said, Lord, there is no way that we can get across this stream. It's entirely up to you. We have no idea what to do. About that time, a great big tree, over 100 years old, right on the edge, fell right across, connected both sides, and they walked across on the tree. That's God. Amen. Yeah. And you know why God did that? Not just for them, but so that story could be told 50 million times. Amen. Just like I told it to you. God's about making a name for him. He's not a bit concerned about making a name for you, but he is about making a name for himself. Well, keep knocking and pleading and begging. We pray as we live. We live as we pray. If you want a clear vision in life, pray more. If you want a bigger purpose, pray more. If you want a greater influence, pray more and come more often to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help. And shut the door and open the book. Amen. Do you know what I mean? Get in your prayer place. Shut the door and open the book, and God will speak to you, and you speak to Him, and you'll have a conversation going. Amen. You say, is that, that's it? That's it. You say, I wouldn't know what to say. You start reading the Bible, and you'll know what to say. That's right. You start listening to God, and from the page of this book, you'll know what to say. Well, I'm closing in a moment. Don't we need this kind of praying? This importunity? This attitude that says, I will not be denied. I refuse to be discouraged. I'm going to pray on till the answer comes. If it takes a year, if it takes 25 years, I am not going to give up. I am going to show importunity. I'm going to keep asking and seeking and knocking. Now, don't you expect God to answer prayers that you don't pray? I don't see any reluctance here on God's part. I'm not going to read verses 9 through 13, but folks, when we pray, we're not conquering a reluctant God. We are taking hold of a willing God. Amen. He said, if you being evil, you mamas and daddies, you know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him. God's a better parent than you are. Amen. So take hold of His willingness and keep knocking. I believe when God wants to do mighty things for His people, He'll set them to praying. That always precedes the great things that He does. And as Shannon mentioned in the prayer room, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Sounds like it's up to us, doesn't it? Do you know how the great revival of 1859 started and millions of people saved? Six people got together one day and prayed. Six. And knocked and kept on knocking at God's door till millions of people were swept into the kingdom. Six. Six people. I wonder if we have six people here tonight who would pray till revival comes, who would pray and just keep on praying till the worst sinner in town gets saved. Amen. Who'd pray till the backslider's reclaimed? You just fill in the blank there. You be the intercessor. Maybe somebody's always done the praying for you. How about you step it up now and you be the one praying? You be the one carrying the burden. You be the one willing to spend some time and some effort and persistence and some soul labor, and Paul called it striving. You repay all that investment that's been made in you. You step up, folks, because I tell you, I'm afraid we're not training much of a generation of prayer warriors. I was at a meeting a year or so ago that had several people pray. And I thought to myself, and these were Christian leaders, and I almost wanted to cry and say, if that's our leaders, my soul, what is going on? What is going on? Well, this man came to his friend at night and woke him up, but thank God you never wake up God because He never sleeps. You can't disturb Him. You can't weary Him. James 1 says He'll never upbraid you. Hallelujah. You can ask Him for the same thing a million times and you won't hurt His feelings. And every now and then, and I'm done, at least one time in your life, at least one time, ask Him for something so big that only He could do it. I've asked God for something big. And if He does it, and it's a if because it's a big one, if He does, you come to me and say, that was it, wasn't it? I say, yes, that was it. You say He got a verse on that one? You better believe it. Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. That's how the Psalms. Hey, what can God do? Anything? Anything? You honor him when you ask for something big. You honor him. So will you not intercede for somebody? Will you not touch heaven for somebody? And everything in this parable, all that begging and all that knocking that this man did was for one person. That wasn't a whole family, it was one. But one eternal soul is worth more than all the lands and all the wealth and all the worlds. This one little old snotty-nosed barefooted boy is worth more to God than this whole wide world. I challenge us to keep knocking and keep begging till the answer comes. Let's stand and